Day school, 10 o'clock. That means you had to get up really early to look as lovely as you do. Praise God. And today's casual day, right? Isn't this great? I feel like I'm wearing my jammies practically because it's just like so relaxing, so relaxing. Praise God. Wanted to start with a song this morning, and I don't want to sing for you. I want to sing with you. So the song is Oh How He Loves You and Me. So join in with me this morning. I'll try not to start it too high. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he do? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love to us, Lord. Thank you for your great love to us. We love you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful. I know today's lesson title is Faithful to Forgive. God is faithful to forgive, and I'm so thankful. I know none of us would be here today if the Lord had not forgiven us, and that we would feel that forgiveness and know that he's forgiven us, that we have been restored to him, that we have fellowship with him, and I'm so thankful that we have forgiveness. I'm thankful that he forgave me. I thought I was pretty unforgivable, and yet he forgave me, and I'm just so thankful for the covering of his blood that's applied to our lives. We've been washed. We're made clean. We're just made so squeaky clean before him. It's so nice, isn't it? Just to think that we're in right relationship with him. Right relationship with the one who breathed breath into our lungs that day in whatever hospital it was or whatever home birthing place it was. That little cry of the newborn, that it was God himself who breathed breath into us. And on that final day, it'll be God who takes our final breath from us. That's nothing anyone else can do except the Almighty. And I just felt the weight of this teaching class this week because I think forgiveness is one of the pivotal points in Christian relationships and character that will save us or it will send us to a devil's hell, because it's so important that we forgive others as the Lord has forgiven us. You know, we forgive daily like the Lord's Prayer says. It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And then we say, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we pray that. That's something that is not just prayed once a quarter. It's prayed daily. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to have hurt or offended somebody. I don't want to be the cause of somebody else not making heaven their eternal home. I have a few things I just wanted to share with you before we get right into the meat of the lesson this morning. I guess the question that just went through my mind as I thought about this lesson is, and I wanted to pose this question to you today, is unforgiveness worth the price of eternal life in the New Jerusalem? Is our unforgiveness worth eternal life? And I know that we have to all forgive people, and it's not easy. It's hard sometimes, but thankfully we have a great, fabulous Heavenly Father who has forgiven us our sins. Thank the Lord. Mark chapter 11, 25 reads, it says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." And then it says this in 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." So what does that scripture say to us? We need to forgive. We need to forgive. There is a story that's told of the first missionaries that came to Alberta, Canada. My stomping grounds, close to British Columbia. His name was Mask Epton, and he was a chief of the Cree Indians. And I actually have one quarter Cree. I am one quarter Cree, which is really neat. The Cree Indian chief, he responded to the gospel, but it wasn't until after there was great opposition. They didn't just take this Christianity gospel, just here it is, open my arms and take it. There was a great opposition. And shortly after becoming a Christian, he was opposed. His father was actually killed by a member of the Blackfoot tribe, killed his father. And this young Indian chief, he rode into the village where this murderer lived, and he demanded that this man who killed his father be taken out, and he wanted to see him. And he confronted the guilty man, and he said, "You have killed my father, so now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse, and you will wear my best clothes." And in utter amazement and remorse, this man who killed his father said, "My son, now you have killed me." And what he meant is that the hate that he had in his heart had been completely, imagine that, I mean, completely erased by the forgiveness and the kindness of this young Indian chief. Forgiveness, it's a beautiful thing, not only for the one who's giving forgiveness, but for the one who's receiving it. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's nothing that we as humans really want to do. It's something divine. It's beautiful. And aren't you glad that God forgives us? Aren't you glad? The focus thought today is God is faithful. He is faithful to forgive and to restore those who turn to him. The focus verse is in the book of Hosea. I'm just going to read the focus verse right now, and then I'm going to read the rest of the portion of the scripture. The focus verse is in Hosea 14:4. It says, "Hosea, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him." Praise God. As we all know, forgiveness can be very difficult, but thankfully we have a great God who can forgive our sins. And when he does that, no matter how bad, we can turn to him and he will restore us, which is a beautiful thing, restoration. Hosea was called, when we think of the prophets, we were called to do some great things. Some of them were called to bring down fire. Some of them were called to bring judgment. Others were called to heal sick bodies. The Lord even gave some prophets, which I think is wonderful, is the special call to prophesy about the Messiah coming. That was their job. Wow, what a great job, right? Okay, so we've got Hosea, and he probably wished, you know, when he was praying, he probably wished maybe he had been called to do that, to prophesy about the Messiah. He was given a different task. He was given a different task. Although he prophesied judgment to the northern kingdoms of Israel, what his true calling was to be an example of the Lord's forgiveness and the Lord's ability to restore. So when we look at this story, at first you think, wow, this is a really weird story in the Old Testament. The northern kingdom had betrayed the south, and they had not only betrayed the kingdom, they had betrayed their one true God. What they started doing is Jeroboam started setting up calves, golden calves, to worship in the city of Dan and the city of Bethel. And this would prevent the people from going to Jerusalem to worship the one true God. So really, he had just created these idols, this idol worship, to prevent people from worshiping Jehovah. And these shrines basically fell under the category of, well, it was obviously idolatry, but scripture often equates idolatry with adultery because of worshiping the false gods was on the same as one cheating on one's spouse, basically. You know what? Thank God the Lord forgave us. Thank God he restores us to fellowship. Thank God that we have been made heirs with him. Hosea 4:13 says, this is what they said was happening, and this was happening at this time in Hosea. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. And the Lord viewed these actions as one and the same, as one and the same, as serving and going after false gods. The Lord was a husband of Israel, but she, Israel, had repeatedly gone after other lovers or false gods, repeatedly. And this broke the heart of the Lord, broke the heart. What Hosea was tasked to do was to marry a prostitute. And God wanted somebody who could truly understand what brokenness was, and thus called Hosea to do the unthinkable, where other prophets were prophesying of the future coming of the Messiah. They're healing sick. They're bringing down fire. They're doing all these fabulous things, and here's Hosea, like, and he was commanded to marry a lady named Gomer in order that to show what lengths God would go to restore Israel, to give forgiveness and restoration. It's amazing, though, when you think of how God would go to such lengths to show his people, but it's also an illustration for us today. The Lord wanted them to understand how much he loved them and how much he was willing to forgive them of anything. It didn't matter what it was. When you think that you're just like so far gone, I've done so many terrible things, how could God ever love me? How could he ever forgive me? And I think if you've come from a world of sin, you've probably thought those things at one time. I know I did. Thought, how could God ever forgive me? I mean, how would he ever love me because of my sin? And I'm sure that they thought the same thing. But this example to them was an example for them to see living before them that this would happen from God, the great God Almighty. And this is a question posed in our Sunday school book. When do we find it hardest to forgive? When do we find it the hardest to forgive? And how can the Lord help us in these difficult times to forgive? So while you're thinking about that question, you know, so when you're thinking about that, I'm going to come back to that. When do we find it hardest to forgive? And I was thinking of it, and I think perhaps when great injustices have been done to us or someone we love very much has been hurt, maybe that's when we find it hard to forgive. And I think the greatest, too, is when innocence has been taken, and it wasn't anything that you or your loved one did, and it was taken. Those are times, I know you see me up here now, you know, 2021, but when innocence was taken, you know, years ago in my life, and I never asked for it, there's a time of forgiveness. You have to get to a place where it's not only forgiving the person who sinned against you, but ask, because God has forgiven me of my sin, how could I hold forgiveness from someone else? So it didn't happen overnight. It literally took years and years. But you know what? There comes a place where you actually pray for them, that God would restore them to fellowship, because that's a soul, no matter what, that's a soul that God wishes that would never perish and go to a lake of fire. He wants restoration for all. So when do we find it hardest to forgive? Does anyone have an example? Sister Esther, no? Oh, you can't, okay, yeah. Oh, sis, okay, bless you. There are many times I think of, yes, sis, here.
Some of you know my story, but it was a really, really hard day. The day I got a phone call from my father. I was taking care of my grandmother's things. She had passed. My father had walked out of my life when I was 12, 13 years old. I don't know why. And since then, I have been able to tell him, and again, as Sister Sharon says, a lot of years had passed. And I told him the other day on the phone, and the other day was probably 2-3 months ago. But I told him, I said, you know, it's okay. I don't really need to know. Don't ever think that I'm going to ask you why you walked away and left. Because I know what God did for me at that point. But to be able to forgive, and I'm sorry, Amy, but my kids have looked at me and said, why? How can you forgive him? How can you let go of that? My beautiful sister that God gave me in my foster family, she looked at me and she said, Donna, why do you have to maintain a relationship? And it probably should be better than it is. Because she looked at me and she said, we have a dad. And I said, I know. I have a wonderful dad. But he is my father. And he needs to know that God loves him. And so, it's not easy. And that day in the house was the first time, my grandmother's apartment, I was sitting there going through things. And the sheriff found him. I didn't know he was even alive. And that was the first time I'd heard his voice. And I think it was 18, 19 years, maybe longer than that. And that was the hardest conversation I've ever had. Because I was so angry at him. But God helped me to be able to let go of that. And yes, it does bring tears now. But now I can talk to him about the Lord. I can tell him that the past is the past. And it doesn't have to come back. And I don't need to know, because God has taken care of it. So forgiveness is not easy, but it's oh, so important.
Praise God. I don't know when the day comes when you know that you forgive somebody, and then I think the day when you're healed, for me, is the day you don't get up every morning or you think about it. You don't even remember it anymore. and weeks have gone by and months have gone by and years have gone by, and all of a sudden you go, oh yeah. And it's like, wow, what did God do in that time? Because I forgave, and then I don't think about it anymore. It's not in my heart. I've given it to God, and I've forgiven, and I've given it to God because it's nothing I can do. God is forgiveness, and He does it. I thank God that He does the work, and I thank God for those days when you realize, and you just realize, wow, I haven't thought about that in years. Isn't it great? And then I go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good, and I love that. And honestly, I think that helps with all of our healing, too, when we do have that day when we, it's like, wow, I haven't thought about that in years. Years. Thank the Lord. In his book, Lee, The Last Years, it said that Robert E. Lee visited a lady who took him to this grand old tree in front of her house. There she cried bitterly as she looked at the limbs from the trunk that had been destroyed from the federal artillery fire. She looked to Lee for a word of condemnation to the North, or at least some sympathy because of her loss. And after a brief silence, Lee said, cut it down, dear madam, and forget it. It's better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain and let bitterness take root and poison the rest of our lives. Wow, because that's what unforgiveness does. It causes bitterness. It causes sickness, really, in our bodies. This is where I got into the thinking of scientists, when they have found that when people are reminded of grudges, their heart rate and blood pressure can increase. Forgiveness, on the other hand, was linked to better health from their heart, better heart health, plus better sleep at night. When you forgive, doesn't that just sound like the Bible and the Lord anyway, the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Then a group of researchers in Netherlands did another test, and they asked people to write down a time in their life when they held a grudge against someone and a time when they forgave someone from something they did. So they wrote it down, and then after they were asked to jump, this is weird, as high as they could without bending their knees. I know this is science, right? And the people who forgave the person or people of their grudge were able to jump higher by almost 3 inches than the people who held on to the grudge. And they said that they were literally unburdened by forgiving and releasing the grudge than the grudge that was literally holding them down. I was like, wow, okay. And then there was a famed psychiatrist named Carl Menninger, and he said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, he said 75% of them would walk out the next day. And you know what? You see that when you work in extended care facilities. You see that in hospitals. It's pretty amazing how the devil has people just bound up to believe that God could never forgive them of anything they ever did. I think that's one of the biggest lies of the enemy, just to tell people that. Hosea loved Gomer anyway. 1 Peter 4:8 reads, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love, God is love. He covers our multitude of sins wherever we've come from in our backgrounds. We all have a background. We all have sin. So Gomer, she betrayed her husband. And Hosea had every right to be frustrated, to be angry, rightfully so. His life, when he started, it seemed to be so promising and so filled with promise. And then he answered the call to God, and he obeyed God, and he became pretty frustrated. You know, it was frustrating. But he could not abandon Gomer because of his love for her. And his love for her is likened to the love the Lord has for us. He cannot ever abandon us because of the love he has for us. This great love would not allow him to leave his wife, who had treated him terribly, who had borne him children from other men. In our lesson text, we're going to read now in Hosea. I'm turning to chapter 14, and I'm reading verse 1 through 9. Hosea 14, and I'm reading from the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, small g. For in you the fatherless find mercy, and I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Praise God. Just a beautiful illustration for us of just what God, how much he loves us and wants to forgive us and wants to restore us, wants to make us whole again, have right relationship with him. In the New Testament, 2 Peter 3:9 says that God's not willing that any should perish, that any should perish. And the message we have in the Word of God is one of redemption, right from the first book in the Bible to the very last book. It's all about God wanting to redeem his people. He's constantly reaching out in love to rescue and to restore. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hosea was anguished by his wife Gomer, and several times he spoke of his intense anger. In the midst of tremendous hope and disappointment, the prophet kept returning to the love that he felt for Gomer, ultimately deciding that he would be her husband and he would love her children. Praise God. Hosea 1:10 reveals the promise in the midst of Israel's perversion. And it says this, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. Does that kind of sound familiar? Which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Praise God. The Lord would claim his people just as Hosea had claimed Gomer's children. Praise God. I like reading. The historians write things like this that just make me think of great things about forgiveness. They say that we are most like God when we forgive. And that's the truth. One writer put it this way, we are most like beasts when we kill, we are most like men when we judge, and we are most like God when we forgive. Because his character is wrapped in forgiveness. He is forgiveness. You know, and this gentleman, J.C. Ryle, says, humanity is never so beautiful as when praying for forgiveness or else when forgiving another. Humanity is never so beautiful. Then there was an African proverb that says this, 6 words. He who forgives ends the quarrel. Isn't that great? I love that God loves us even when we are unfaithful. And God used Hosea's, this baffling love that he had for Gomer and her children, to reveal his unfathomable love for us, that he has for us. His love is so great that he can love us when we're pretty much almost lovable, unlovable. Praise God. He reaches down into the depths of our sin, and he shows mercy even when we deserve no mercy. I love that when we do fail him, he loves. He loves. And I like the story of Joseph. I had to bring it in because Joseph being sold into slavery, you know, by his brothers, and then ending up in the second position, the second highest position in Egypt. And then when his brothers finally come to buy grain because there was a famine in the land, I love that he says, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? That was his first question. I think that would be my first question too. I am Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Praise God. The ability for him to forgive is just another example of God's great ability to forgive us. We turn aside and we can put other things before him. We can get busy and put other things before him. He still loves us. He forgives us. You know, when our sin produces problems that should make us really despised by everybody, he still loves us, which is, it's so eternal. It's so not of this world. It's so not human. It's just a beautiful thing. Song of Solomon says 8:7, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all substances of his house for love, it would be utterly condemned. God's love is too great to be quenched by even floods of unfaithfulness, and that's what we see in Hosea. So what does it feel like for us to be forgiven? Amazing. I feel so humbled when I'm forgiven. It's a beautiful God thing, and we've felt it before. But we want to let others know what that feels like also, because they've been living with the burden of sin, which is so heavy and cumbersome, and it weighs them down, and Satan beats them down to think that they are nothing and could never be loved or never be forgiven, which is a lie from the pit of hell. But that forgiveness is something that is so beautiful. We know what it feels like. I want other people to know what it feels like too, because it's the most beautiful thing. It really is. I always like something funny, so I have to put something funny in here. A couple married for 15 years had been having their usual disagreements, so they decided that they were going to do this fault box where they put a slip of paper into a box each day for 1 month of the other person's faults. So the wife was very diligent in her efforts, and she put something in there every day. You left the lid off the jam jar. You left your wet towel on the shower floor. You whatever didn't put pick up your dirty socks, and on till the end of the month. So after dinner, the last day of the month, they sat down and they exchanged their boxes. Here's my box, my fault box. The husband reflected and went over each one of the things his wife wrote. The wife opened her box, and she began reading, and every message was the same. Every message was the same on each slip. I love you. I love you. Another couple said that after 50 years of marriage, Their secret was that they never went to bed without settling any difference. Okay, and we kind of live with that too. You settle anything, you don't go to sleep, right? He also said that there have been times when he went 10 days without sleep. Help us, Lord, right? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. You know, the message that Hosea wanted to get across to the people there is return to the Lord. We have to return to the Lord when we have drifted away with thoughts and things of this world. We need to repent again, like every day. We need to take inventory of the things that weigh us down. Well, I live a pretty good life. What weighs your spirit down? What are you thinking about? What weighs you down? Those are the things God wants us to give to Him. We're not supposed to bear that weight. We were never meant to bear it. He went to Calvary to bear that weight for us. Thank God. And then we can look at Him and say, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. He is so willing to forgive us our sins. And the story of the prodigal son, and the scripture says, this is just such a beautiful story. And it says, he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, think about it, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And in those days, the men just didn't run. But this was a beautiful example of our Lord for us, running to us, those that have backslidden, those that have gone astray, those that are, and some said, and the father said, the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, he says, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For your son was dead, and he is alive. He's alive. He was lost, but now he's found, and they began to be merry. That's the Lord, how the Lord feels about us. That's how he feels about us. Hosea 14, 1 and 2 says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Even after they had given themselves to idol worship, false gods, left the love of the great God of Israel, God gave a beautiful example in Hosea by allowing him to love his wife so wholeheartedly and forgive. The prayer of repentance is something Hosea asked. The people needed to pray for repentance and restoration. Even if we know God will forgive us, we need to pray it. Peter listed it as one of the things in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. That was one of the first initial things that we need to repent. We need to repent. And it's the same way today. When we feel pricked in our heart and our spirit, we need to repent. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow might not come. This life is really short. We think it's long because we get decades and decades and decades, but it's not. It's but a vapor. It's very short. And there are some things that are weighing you down that are not worthy of weighing you down because he went to a cross and he shed his blood. We do not have to be weighed down with those things. We are children of the living God. And you know what? We have a hope, and that hope should give us some joy. It should give us joy. Philip Yancey writes, at last I understand. In the final analysis, forgiveness is an act of faith. Amen? By forgiving one another He said, I am trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. By forgiving, I release my own right to get even and leave all issues of fairness for God to work out. I leave it in God's hands. The scales must be balanced. He does it justly and with mercy. Praise God, right? He does it justly. I have all these fabulous notes, but I want to get to this. Thank you, Lord. So look to the person that's sitting beside you today. Smile, right? Most likely, because we are a family of God, it's the person that's sitting beside you that you'll have to forgive one day. Okay? Say, I love SPC, I love you. I love you. Because we are family, we get comfortable with one another. We come into the house of God. We come together. We don't have our breastplate on so that we're like worried that someone's going to war against us in our flesh, our brothers and sisters. We let our guards down. We should. But we end up getting hurt sometimes. Let us be the first ones to forgive. Let the church be the first to forgive so that when the backsliders come and those that have left us, we show them mercy. We show them forgiveness. We show them compassion. We are not the judge. We are not the ones to judge our brother and sister. He is a judge. He is the just judge. You know, and that is it. I want to be the first to forgive. I want to be the first one that says, Lord, forgive me. And I've always been very thankful because I've really prayed that God would just allow me to have a tender spirit. So when I know in my spirit that I've hurt somebody, I will call you. I seriously will call you and I will apologize and I will pray with you and for us because that is Christ-like. Allowing unforgiveness to grow creates bitterness. Bitterness creates a poison inside of you, which is like a disease in the flesh / spirit. And once you have that, you're a sick Christian. You're sick. We want to be whole, and we want to be clean, and we want to be right. And that's right relationship with God. And that's so important. So that's kind of like basically applying it to us today is where we're at today, allowing the Lord to let us be sensitive to other people. Prefer our brothers and our sisters. Love them like Christ loved the church. I know we use that scripture for husbands and wives. Love your brother and sister like Christ loved the church. Because he's loved us, why would we withhold our love, withhold our forgiveness to them? And I'm going to close with this saying written by D.L. Moody. He used a word picture. And he said, he uses word picture, thinking and talking to the Peter. Find the man who spat in my face and preach to him the gospel. Tell him that I forgive him and that I died to save him. Find the man who thrusts a spear into my side and tell him that there is a quicker way to my heart. That is how the Lord longs to forgive us, and that now it's our turn. We too must forgive like the Lord has forgiven us. Praise God. Church, I want to be right with him. I want to have right relationship with him. I want to have right relationship with all of you. So I don't want there to be anything between us ever. Praise God. He's so good. I pray that this has been a blessing to you today. God bless you. We're going to have a fabulous song service on Pentecost Sunday. God bless you. Amen.